So hi, thanks for having me. I'm sure all the jokes were about me. I don't know. I'm sorry I don't speak Mandarin, so apologies. Just English and Hebrew if anyone speaks. So it's great to be here. I'm going to talk, I have two sessions, one after the other. The first one will be about PaaS on Azure, Azure App Service. And it sort of dovetails to the next session talking about APIs. How many people are planning to stay for the next session? No one? Oh, okay. The stuff I will not show now and I'll show in next session, maybe it'll make you guys stay, but the two sessions kind of talk about aspects of the same technology. Let's get going here. Oh, no. It worked a second ago. Okay. There you go. So real quick, kind of setting the stage. Are people here that are using App Service today? All right, well, that's something. Everyone will use it by the time I'm done, because it's so awesome. But just setting kind of the expectation, we're talking about building apps today. Some of the things that are new is one is the abundance of devices that we have. We have much more computing powers in our pocket than we had 20 years ago in a kind of a high-end PC. We have essentially unlimited capabilities and capacities in the cloud to process data. So we are able to build these applications that we couldn't build 5 years ago. So stuff like companies like Uber that are able to use cheap devices to have drivers drives their cars around and use machine learning and compute in order to optimize their prices and their routes. Stuff like that was not able, we couldn't build that a few years ago. In Microsoft Cloud, in Azure, we're trying to allow people to build applications that will give them the edge and the ability to interact with their customers in new ways, and also give their employees a lot of information about what their customers want what their customer needs. This is more of a developer session. If we have time in the end, I can go through some customer examples. But basically, we have customers that are able to very quickly churn out mobile applications, churn out websites for their customers. Like I said, more of a dev session, so I'll show some demos of how this stuff works. So defining platform as a service. So let's say your app is dinner, you have to build something. You can go to the grocery store and buy all the ingredients and build it yourself, or cook it yourself, rather. That's IaaS, right? So 4 or 5 years ago, this is what we did in the cloud. We'd move all our infrastructure over to the cloud to where the cloud provider can manage the machines for us. However, we had more disruptive use cases coming out. So let's say you want, you can go to a fancy restaurant. And in this case, this is software as a service. So if you look at a company like Salesforce.com, something that used to cost thousands of dollars to install a CRM system, you can go log in and build your own application using a web browser. In the middle, we have platform as a service. So this is a company that exists in the United States called Blue Apron. I took away their logo so I don't get in trouble. But basically what they do is you get a box every week with recipes and the ingredients. So all you have to do is kind of mix the ingredients together and cook your dinner. I think this is more of like a platform as a service offering, because we'll give you all the ingredients, we give you the recipes, and then you can go and innovate on top of that. So the example I have is last week my wife and my son were trying to cook this dinner, and he doesn't like fish, so they combined two things. They had noodles and fish and steak. So essentially, you can take all of these ingredients and mix and match them into your own application. So I'll show some demos on how we kind of use the capabilities of our PaaS offering to get applications in the cloud to play with each other. So I'm going to talk about Azure App Service. It's a product that is really focused on making developers enjoy themselves and build stuff and really work on the cool factor, if you will. But their managers can also trust them. So everything we have is scalable. It passes compliance. We have a private cloud offering as well. You can secure your stuff. You can connect to on-prem systems and so on. Where are we inside Azure? So Azure is a, there's more here, never mind. Azure is a really robust cloud platform. We have developer-specific tools. We have all the databases, ability to do machine learning, stream analytics, process data in real time, IoT, so on and so forth. In the cloud, on the bottom, we have the primitives of the cloud, compute, storage, and networking. And with Azure App Service, we're sort of in the middle, because it's my presentation, where we try to, again, make things very simple for people to build these type of applications. So if I go in depth into what Azure App Service is, we launched App Service about 4 years ago in June. We have close to 1 million customers now, 1 million apps. So we basically learned what people are trying to build with us. We have a lot of people building e-commerce. We have people building custom apps where they build born in the cloud apps for events. A lot of people are building their corporate presence with us, so websites to represent their brand, as well as mobile applications to share with their customers and have an interactive thing. Line of business is employed to employ applications where employees can interact with corporate systems using their mobile devices or web browser, and we have some examples of that. And then we have a lot of ISVs building software on top of us, as well as APIs that are hosted on us or we manage them. The services we have, and I'll go into those in details, but we have the API stack, we have a bunch of mobile capabilities, web apps, which is the product we first launched, Azure websites, about 4 years ago, and then integration and workflow and serverless with Azure Functions. Everything is built on the App Service platform, which is a PaaS platform that is available on Azure. It's also available on-prem with the Azure stack that is coming out this year, and with Windows Azure Pack that has already been released. And pack and stack, and yeah. Cool. So I'm going to talk about the services. And I try to go with each one of them and demo a little bit. The API demo will be in the next session. So with web apps. Web apps, like I said, was our first product. We started that about 4 years ago. And we developed it a year before that. We came all from the IIS team, the team that builds the Windows web server. So we had a lot of experience, and initially we tried to make sure that if you had a web application that ran on-prem in your IIS in Windows, you can move it to the cloud. So we actually have a tool. There's a website called movemetothecloud.net that you can try to move like your on-prem websites to the cloud. We made sure we support all of the programming languages beyond just .NET. So we support Java, Node.js, Python, and PHP. The big kind of developer value is that we have auto-scaling. We have the ability, again, to connect to on-prem systems. And we have continuous integration, which I'll show a little bit. When we talk about development in the cloud, we really want to get to a situation where a developer can build the application very quickly, deploy it, and then keep iterating in order to make it better. Because again, in this new world where your competitors, everyone's a software company, you have to keep going, improve your application all the time. So we allow you to develop. You can develop obviously in Visual Studio. Microsoft now has Visual Studio Code that works on a Mac as well. And with .NET Core, you can run you can develop in C-sharp in Mac. Obviously, we support the PHP and the JavaScript. You can put your stuff in a code repository. In this case, it's TFS, but I'll show GitHub in a second. You do your build in the cloud. And then we have this feature we call deployment slots, where you can push your code to a pre-production environment. You can test it to make sure it works. And then you can do what we call a swap, and put your code in production. That allows you to make sure that you know, you're not putting bad stuff over there. We also have this feature we call testing in production that allows you to put several percent of your traffic to your new version. You can test it. If it runs okay, you can graduate into 100%. What we're trying to do is really help developers be successful. We also have the ability to debug in the cloud. So I don't have this demo today, but you can actually attach a debugger from Visual Studio to your app in the cloud in case you have some issues and see what's going on there. Because we have this pre-production slot, you can actually debug the pre-production so you're not blocking your main web applications, of course. Then you validate, you publish into production, and you can use many of the other capabilities of Azure in the back end. You can use SQL Azure or Azure SQL databases for structured storage. You can use DocumentDB for NoSQL, Azure storage, and so on and so forth. And I'll show some of that. And then we have a variety of monitoring tools. There are application insights. There's stuff inside the app service itself that allows you to continuously improve your application. So this is Azure websites or web apps. We'll try to do a quick demo. So I think the resolution is going to look a bit funny. Oh, there you go. No, it's not too bad. And so this is the Azure portal. This is where we maintain our apps and build them. So I prepared a web application this morning called Hello Taipei. Very simple web application. If we go ahead and launch it, it's really very simple. This is written in Node.js. The interesting thing here is that if I go and scroll down here to continuous deployment, and we look at our deployment source, this application is actually coming from GitHub. So it'll take for a second to show up. And basically, the code is hosted on GitHub. Everyone familiar with that, I'm assuming? Developers, okay. Source code repository in the cloud. And I already deployed a version. So now I can go to my code in GitHub, and it's just a very simple thing, and edit it. So we made a quick change here, and I'm going to commit this change into this. And now as we go back to our deployment portal, in a second we'll see the new deployment coming in. So this looks really simple, but it's actually very powerful. Now you can have your whole team building this web application. Many people use their own local repositories, and they check in code, and every time you check into master, your stuff is going to be automatically sent to Azure. So we can see the new deployment is coming in. And again, if we go ahead and relaunch this, we see the change. So again, it's very kind of a cheesy demo, but very powerful functionality. I can also go back here, and if I wanted to, I can go ahead and look at information from this deployment, and let's say I had some bug or what have you, I can go ahead and basically redeploy the old code. So if I do this, the version before the change I made comes in. So again, like I said, very, very simple stuff, but very powerful when you use it for a real project. So it came back. So web apps have like hundreds of features. I won't be able to get into them today. What I did want to show you is this thing we call TryApp Service. You don't have to have an Azure subscription for this. If you want to play and kind of get a feel for the platform and how powerful it is, I can just go here and select the web app. I hit the next button. Let's say we want the ASP.NET starter, but we can try other stuff. I need to log in, but I don't have to have a Microsoft account in this case. Oh, great. Now all of you have my email, I guess. No. Because I don't do this demo all the time. Come on, you can do it. Yay, okay. Awesome. But you can friend me on Facebook if you want. So now we're getting this application created, and as soon as it's ready, I can go ahead and browse to this application. And it's just, again, a vanilla .NET. The nice thing here is that I can interact with this app for an hour, and I can get an extension for 24 hours. So if you're not an Azure customer, you want to play with this, that's very easy. We also have a feature that is another great hidden secret, which is Visual Studio Online, or its code name Monaco, which is an online editor. And when it loads, I need to tell more jokes because, you know, it's not going. That's a problem with demos, that you have to try to time your discussion. But when it shows up, I can do, essentially, I can edit online. Oh, now it showed up when I was trying to come up with something to say. So we go here and we can make change. I know how you feel. And then the nice thing about this, I don't even need to save. And we know how the audience feels. So web apps in a nutshell, like I said, hundreds of features to play with and learn more about the platform. All right. Oh, you've seen this one. Okay, cool. All right, mobile apps. First thing, mobile apps is a horrible name because these are not apps. They're things that you build on the back end. You build apps on your clients. With the recent acquisition of Xamarin, we really feel that we have a great story for developing these mobile snack apps, if you will, or enterprise apps. So we have a customer in the Seattle area. It's an airline called Alaska Airlines. And they basically are trying to save money and do things on an economy budget. And they all use just their own mobile devices to do the work. So if you go and check in your bag, they'll take an image of your check-in luggage tag with their phone or what have you, and that goes into their system. What they did is they started working with us in Xamarin. They got one of our high-end SKUs, is sort of a virtual private cloud called an app service environment, and they start sort of banging out these applications. So they have by something like 30 applications that are doing different aspects of their work for their workday. With the mobile capabilities, it's very easy to go build these type of things. If you sort of think about, again, the deployment life cycle or development cycle, you can develop in Xamarin in Visual Studio. You can write your stuff in C# and compiles to all mobile platforms. Again, you can manage it online in TFS if you want. Xamarin has a great feature called Xamarin Test Cloud, where they basically have some warehouse somewhere that has all of the devices with all of the different version, different screen sizes, and you can run your code there and do testing, and they'll give you the testing report, or we will now that they're part of Microsoft. And then you can deploy to Azure App Service mobile apps. The interesting thing about mobile is that there's sort of three, again, primitives for mobile apps. There's data. Mobile developers, they don't want to have to worry about the database and the structure. So we have data capabilities with easy tables that I'll show in a second that allow you to build a table structure in the cloud and also have it synchronized with the client. We have offline sync in case your device is offline. Notifications with our Notification Hub product. We have the ability to send push notifications to all device types at once. So you send once, and if you have an app that works in different devices, everyone will get the same message. There's a feature there called tags that allows you to personalize messages. So you want to do a push notification that is specific. For example, one of our customers is a soccer club, Real Madrid from Spain. And they have this mobile application, and customers can say, okay, which player am I a fan of? And they'll get notifications that are specific for that player. We have the same thing for the NFL in the United States, the football league. The NFL application is using us to send notifications to customers, and that's based on which team they're a fan of. So you can use that on the client. We have the feature called authentication and authorization. That's a name we were given, but it's actually called Easy Auth. It's easier to remember. And again, with the click of a button, you can add this Facebook login or Windows Active Directory, obviously, login for your app, so you can secure it for your customers or for your employees. And then we have two technologies to collect data. We have Hoki apps. There's very powerful kind of analytics tools to show crashes, show how users are interacting with your app. And Azure Mobile Engagement, which is a software as a service product for your marketing team, which allows them to kind of look at how people are interacting with their push notifications and go customize them to try to get more eyes on your applications if you use it as essentially to increase sales to your product. So these are mobile apps. Let's take a quick look at the demo. So I'm going to go back to the development portal, and we're going to take a look at this mobile app I prepared. And one of the nice things about mobile apps and in general about our stuff is we try to make things easy to get started. So we have this concept of a quick start. That you can build an application, we give you all the source code, and you get something that is running. So you can do all of these OSs, different type of code bases and so on. I created for today, I took one in Xamarin Forms and one in Windows because I want to show you the application running on Windows today. So I was able to download this data or download this code. The other interesting thing is here, like I said, for mobile, we have some specific features. So we'll look at the push notification in a second, but we'll start with the easy table. So this is a very simple application. It just sends a list of to-do items. I cleaned up the table before we started today. And let's take a look in Visual Studio. And we can see these two projects. So this is the Xamarin project. As you can see here, you have shared code that it gives you, and then it builds a project for each of the operating systems. And you can run and debug on that. It also allows you, I didn't bring a Mac today, but I can actually connect to a Mac with a cable and debug on a Mac if I want to. We'll go with the other one, which is just the Windows part of it. So this is the same application, just for Windows Phone. And I took the liberty of registering it with the App Store, so I can show you how you can do a push notification with this. So like I said, very simple. First task. And what it does, it just saves this data. So I know, very impressive. However, this code, this data actually went to the cloud, right? So if I go back to my easy table here, and we'll refresh it, we can see this data. That's our first task. The interesting thing is all this goop over there, all of this data is used for offline sync. So if you kind of flip the offline sync bit in your app on, and your app is disconnected, we have kind of inbuilt support for synchronization. So if someone else touched the record, you can define business logic on who will win, the client or the server. If your app just went offline, comes back online to synchronize with the server. So we need all these fields to make sure that that your stuff is in good shape. And then there's the completed, right now it's false, but if I went back to the app and hit this, it will just go away. And again, if we refresh, we can see that it'll turn to true. So again, very, very simple task, app. But very powerful, right? So I just, anyone here can do that. Go download the quick start for the task list for Windows, and the whole thing will work for you. The other interesting thing was the notifications. So like I said, we have this product called Notification Hubs. I think it's this guy that we use to send messages. You can, like I said, customize it and so on. And I can also send a test push here real quick. So it's going to my Windows machine. We want to do a toast. And can customize what it says. So we'll keep going with the boring joke. At least I'm getting something out of the audience here. And then the notification shows up. So again, very simple, but all this stuff, I just didn't want to waste your time seeing those apps create and download the code, but it's something you can get going and get started real quick. And again, that's really the spirit of app service. We want developers to really enjoy playing with our product. Cool, so we'll come back to mobile in a few minutes. Let's move on here, okay. Well, great, good on time. Okay, so Azure Functions. I hate to say that, but how many people are familiar with AWS Lambda? No? Oh, even better. So this is much better than AWS Lambda. So this is a product we just launched in preview on April 1st. It's going to this trend of serverless computing. So essentially you can write this code in the cloud. I'll show you a sample in a second. And you can create APIs or HTTP endpoints very quickly. Or you can also bind to events that happen in Azure. We have this concept of trigger, input binding, and output binding. You can trigger your code from something happening in an Azure system. So for example, I'll show you in a second, when you upload a file into a storage blob in Azure, this code will fire. And I can also bind to webhooks, which means that I can do stuff like have one of these pieces of code fire when I do a check-in in my GitHub. So one of the other demos, I don't think we'll have time today, that I typically show is the ability to do a webhook that connects to GitHub and interacts with the user. And I'll show a little bit about Logic Apps, but essentially, again, like I said, easy, a way to create APIs very quickly. So what are they good for in Azure Functions? One is, you know, we have all these billion of devices that are now sending data to the internet. So obviously IoT, but you also see stuff like the Skype bot framework where you can interact with the bot, but the bot has to be extensible. So you can write an Azure function to react to some key phrases that people type inside the Skype or when they interact with the Skype bot. We've seen people build extensions for, obviously for some device capabilities, and it's also integrated with the Azure IoT suite, which is sort of our solution in Azure to deal with high throughput and templatized IoT scenarios. But we see this pattern showing up more and more. Developers just want to write quick code to interact with some kind of thing that generates event. The serverless notion of Azure Function means that we run your code only when it's invoked, and we also charge you only when it's invoked. So in a lot of scenarios, it's super cheap. You just pay for the milliseconds that your code ran. We measure that. And we also take care of scaling. So you can handle one event and pay a fraction of a cent, or you can do 60 million events like one of our customers did last week. So we're very excited about that, and even for the first months, we've seen a lot of traction on people basically going on innovating on top of the platform. So we had someone who built a solution to do DevOps in Azure, to do some backup and restores using this. We've seen, like I said, someone integrating the Skype bot framework with Azure Functions. And we're working with the Cortana team for Windows to use Azure Functions for the Cortana client for iOS and so on. So very exciting capability there. The other thing that Azure Function is good for, and I'll show that in a second, is the ability to, I get in trouble when I use it, but I call it the cloud glue. You can take all these things and match them together. So I'll show you a couple of examples, but When you want to do something simple as, hey, I want to go and to put some data inside a Azure storage table, with Azure Function, you basically create a new function, you create an output binding to that table, and now anyone can go push data into that. So I'll show a little bit of Azure Functions in a second. So again, to explain the concepts, we'll see a demo in a minute. We have all these Azure services as well as HTTP and webhooks. Those are triggers. They will launch your code for a function. And then we have input binding. So let's say you want to have something invoke your function, but you still have to read some data from a database to understand what's going on. So someone sent you a customer ID on the HTTP trigger, but you have to go to the customer database to get the customer information. You can have an input binding that will send you the data. So I'll show you in a second, but basically the binding becomes an input parameter on your code. Functions, you can code them in C#, Node.js, Python, PHP, PowerShell, Batch, essentially anything that we support, Java, or you can upload your own executable and run it. So we try to allow you to bring your own code or write your code. Azure Functions, because they're built on top of Azure App Service on these web apps I just showed you, you can do the same stuff with GitHub that I showed you before. So you can manage the code for your Azure function and develop locally. We'll be coming out with local client development capabilities very soon now. And then you can run your code either on our what we call traditional hosting plans, which are the same servers you get when you use our web apps or our mobile apps or our API apps, or you can use our dynamic hosting, which is the paper execution. So it really depends on your scenario, but if you're already are a customer of App Service, you can use functions basically on top of the compute power you already are paying us for. And then we have the output bindings where you can save the data out anywhere you want. We have a bunch of monitoring capabilities. You can see how your functions react, and then you can improve them and again keep the cycle of improving your code going. So again, we'll move to our demo here. So let's do this. Let's create a new function. So this is what we call a function app. A function app is a container of these functions. It allows you to deploy it as one unit if you want to move it between data centers or deploy it as a software that you give your customer. We have this kind of quick tutorial here. So I can select this webhook, I can select C# as my language, and I'll create the function. And it's funny, the tutorial thing shows before the code. But I have some documentation of how I use my code. Basically, I have the request object for my HTTP request come in as a parameter, and then my code can interact with it, and I get the response object, and I send it back out. The interesting point here was those bindings I was talking about. So in this case, the trigger is HTTP, but I can add different ones, and the output is HTTP. I can add more things like these Azure services, and I'll show you some samples of that in a moment. And then there's a bunch of things I can manage, right? So I can figure out how much memory I want to allocate for this function, and you pay more for more memory that you buy from us. And then you can do a bunch of configuration things. You can configure that continuous integration. If you need to create an API and you need cross-origin support with cores, we allow you to do that. And a lot of other capabilities like configuring Swagger for your API. So I bet we're all tired of looking at these. So let's go ahead and look at what we got. So we have this very simple function. There's some work done inside this function that allows it to either accept a query string parameter or accept stuff in the post body. I have this kind of real-time stream of log, and then I can hit the run button. and we'll see Hello Azure there. How did we get to that? If we scroll back up, we can see that we have a request object. We put the value in a name parameter, and then if it was empty, it would ask me to pass a name on the query string. So that's all great. If I take this URL that I got, so this is a public URL. However, we generate this API key for you, and that could be also there's a capability to roll this and refresh it every once in a while in case you want to guarantee the security. And I can take this guy. Let's try. Oh well, don't tell anyone I used Google Chrome, right? No, now everyone's snapping pictures. Go ahead and run it. And I think for the first time, did I mess up the? Yeah, I promised you boring, right? So yeah, no? Okay, we'll give it up. I'm sure it will come back as soon as I minimize this window. All right. Basically, like I said, I can create this very quickly. We can see that it got called. Still not happy. Let's try to do. Can't even spell it, so anyway. Yeah, not happy, cool, all right. So that's a function that I can create from scratch. In this case, I created some functions to show you guys, but now all my confidence is short because this other thing didn't work, so hopefully we'll get better luck in this part of the demo. But I wanted to show some different scenarios. So we'll start with this OCR thing, which is interesting. So we have this function. This function is has an input trigger that is based on Azure Blob Storage. So I have a Blob Storage, and I said, okay, every time a file shows up here, you'll run my code. This code actually goes and uses the cognitive APIs we announced recently to do an OCR scan on the file. It takes the text that it finds inside the file and puts it in our document DB, our NoSQL database. So that's all I had to do in order to define the input and the output. If I look at my code, basically I can see that I have the document DB as an output, I have a log, and I have the input, which is my blob. So now I can do, let's remove these files here. So this is my Azure storage blob. That's the one that we're going to be interacting with. And, you know, I barely write code. That joke works better, I guess, in North America. No? Nothing? It's a commercial for beer that is big. So essentially what will happen now is, if we get lucky, you can see that the image came in and it actually scanned it and it found the words inside it. Now, just because I miss my daughter, I had to go and come here to demo for you guys. So that's her name, Ella. And I can upload this picture, and we'll see the same thing show up. So here's her name. So that's all nice. We're able to do that. If we go into our DocDB, so people are familiar with DocDB here? Anyone? DocumentDB? Yeah, best kept secret of Azure. It's a NoSQL solution, allows you to create, save basically JSON documents. Very scalable, very performant, and it allows you to sort of use JavaScript to save your data. So in this case we have, let's look at our Document Explorer. we have these two things show up here. So this is basically, again, non-structured database. We can have thousands of these documents, and it supports some kind of a SQL-like language to do searches. But again, the data just went in there. Okay. So that showed you one of the first use of functions. When I talked about kind of creating endpoints very easily, I can create an endpoint in HTTP, like the webhook I showed you, or I can create something that listens on events inside Azure. So now do we remember that mobile app we created, right? So we had this mobile app here that can take data into that easy table. So, but what if I had this this app and I really wanted to have other people give me tasks? Obviously, I don't have enough work, so I need to be able to allow other people to give me tasks, and I want to be able to see a notification. So again, we can use Azure Functions for that, because again, the concept of binding extends into these objects inside Azure App Service. So I have this other function, my mobile helper function. It's a webhook. It takes an HTTP trigger, so it takes a body of a POST request, and it has two outputs. One output is notification hubs, so the notification channel that we've seen, and the other one is that easy table I showed you. So I can now create essentially a webhook that will write into that mobile application. And again, if you look at the code beyond the kind of group around the include libraries to get all of this, it's pretty simplistic. I just take the text and as soon as I put it in these out parameters, it gets saved by the platform. So I don't need to do any of the plumbing of initiating, like the 30 lines of code you need to initiate connection to a database. All of that is done by us. So I have an input is the request for the HTTP call. One output is for the table, and another output is a notification object. So again, I can go and try it here. And run it. And now we can see that the notification showed up. But that's sort of useless, right? I need to use it in a web page. So what I did, again, very simple, because not that good of a developer, I just wrote a very simple HTML page that uses AJAX to call this function. And I deployed to an Azure App Service web app. This is not supposed to work because it's a different domain, right? So in theory, I'm supposed to get an error if I try to run this code. That's why we have the calls support. So I actually am able to go here to my function app setting and configure it to accept calls from these URLs. So I put a star here so it works for everything, but I can control which pages are able to actually call that one. So it's calls origin resource sharing protocol, it's a W3WC thing. So again, going back to my code, so mobile helper, so I created that web page and then I put it in callmyfunk.azurewebsites.net. If anyone is speedy enough, you can try and use it and send me notifications. Let's see if you're paying attention. Yeah. I guess not, huh? No one's dying. But basically, this called the same function that we had, and it sends me all these messages. Still no one? Yes, okay. Next time I'll make it easier. URL. But again, very cheesy demo, but very strong functionality here. So I took this mobile app. I needed to have another client to talk to it. I created this Azure function, very few lines of code, and now I can embed it in other services. And this is actually an API endpoint. And if you stay for the next session, I'll show how I use APIM, the Azure API management product, to take a function. Oh, thank you. Finally. Oh. Thank you. I didn't know if it was going to work, a bit like this morning. You can use an Azure function to become your one of the implementations of an API. All right, enough. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, just joking. Thank you. Okay, back to our deck. So this Azure function. So again, we're very excited about it. We'd love people to use it more. It's very fun to use and it's really easy. So API. So inside Azure App Service, we have what we call the API stack. It's two elements. One element is what we call API apps. Again, I'll show some more in the next session. But those are essentially, they're kind of like web apps, but they have some support for web API. So you can register a Swagger, which is a definition language for APIs. And you can manage it with source control and all of these features I showed you for web apps. And on top of that, we have this API management capability. So API management is a product that is standalone. You install it from the Azure portal, but it allows you to create facades on top of your API, so you can publish something that looks consistent, even though you may have many APIs that are different. And you can integrate with APIs that you have on-prem. So in case you have APIs behind your firewall, you can use the product to connect to them and expose them to the internet. And since we have this proxy sitting here, we are able to do a bunch of stuff like throttle. So if you know your API is slow, you can only allow several number of hits per period of time. And we can also monitor and show you how people are leveraging your APIs. So again, next session will be more focused on that area. Oh, it works with images, cool. Thank you. So we'll move to the next slide here. So this is what we look at as our API kind of strategy and our vision of how you can leverage API. So the good thing about API is now if you have an API, you can use it for different mobile customers or mobile clients. And you can also use it to make your development process faster. So today, the I think buzzword of the week is microservices. But these are really all these small APIs that are doing an end-to-end function, right? So you can use this Swagger language, which is a JSON format that defines an API. Visual Studio has a client that allows you to take that definition and make client code out of it. So you can start developing your client code while your backend guys develop the implementation. You load the Swagger file into API management, and I'll show that again in the next session, and then you get an API that is working. It's not returning any valid data, but it's a facade. So again, client team can start writing code, and then you can implement the backend of your API with any tool you like. So you can obviously do it with API apps, which are first-class support inside Azure, or you can bring your API from on-prem. You can use Azure functions like I showed you, and all of these APIs will look the way you want them to look. So then you publish them to the APIM product, and you get this functionality called the developer portal. Developer portal allows you to essentially expose your API to people who consume it, so it's kind of a mini website that represents that shows the API for developers. You can run the samples, and then you can look at documentation of how this API works, and then the API gets invoked by your customers. You can set what we call policies on that, and I'll show policies in the next sessions, which allows you to throttle how many API hits. You can put security on that, and you can also change the payload as it comes in and it comes out. So if you have some stuff in your API, it exposes some headers that are leaking your implementation of your application, you can remove them with the proxy. And then because we have a proxy, we can measure the activities, and we can show you some data about where your API is being used, again, how many hits it's getting, and so on and so forth. So again, for that demo, you'll have to stick with me for the next session. Cool. Logic apps. Logic apps are, if we talked about functions or API apps being able to do sort of one activity, Logic apps allows you to build a workflow. So I don't know if some folks here in the room saw it, but last week we announced a product called Microsoft Flow, which is sort of like the ability for a non-technical user to build, connect these things together so you can look at stuff from Twitter, save it to files, and so on and so forth, and build these little workflows. Logic apps is the more professional version of that thing. We have connectors that we built for many applications, including some more high-end stuff that is sitting on-prem. And then you can build these workflows and manage the workflow has a nice designer inside our portal, but you can also manage them as source control, as source. So each of these workflows is in the backend is a JSON file, you can download it, put it in Git, and all that good stuff. And the also nice thing about this is that if you can't express the logic inside this visual designer, because this lets you do stuff, simple stuff like saying, okay, if I found some kind of string, a substring inside the string, you know, go, you know, take one of these junctions and go to a different branch. But if you want to do something more sophisticated, you can double click one of those and write an Azure function in JavaScript. So very powerful functionality. It's out there on our portal. Very easy to try and play with it. Cool, so I showed you the applications. Let's talk a little bit about the platform because we're running out of time. I think I have really one slide here. So this is an abbreviated slide of the number of features we have in the platform. It's very robust. There's a lot of capabilities, and I try always to show kind of the highlights. But if you have time, it's great to look at our documentation and see what else we can do. But we sort of have these three pillars we always talk about. So enterprise grade, we have all the capabilities that allows this thing to run with inside enterprise environment or as a help to enterprise. It has all the compliance. It has the ability to do backup and restore, disaster recovery, scale, virtual private cloud. There's the Azure Pack or Azure Stack where you can install your own private cloud on-prem. So very robust there. It's fully managed. That's something that's very powerful. So 12 years ago, I was a development manager inside an enterprise. And every time I wanted to build a new website, I had to go and get a new server. So we used some kind of virtualization. We had Citrix. So I had to, oh, it's actually 15 years. Never mind. But I had to get a VM, I had to install all the stack on that and Windows Server and make sure all the patches are there and all the components. If I had Azure App Service, I basically would go in and say, hey, create a new website for me, I'll develop my code, and if my management likes it and they want to take it to production, all they have to do is upgrade it to a production SKU, right? So very strong functionality with fully managed. And then build for DevOps is all the features I just showed you. It's incredibly easy to start. Hopefully it's fun to use, and we allow developers to really be able to churn code very quickly. We have all of these stacks installed on the server. You can go into Visual Studio, create a new website. There's a checkbox there that says deploy to the cloud. We'll be deployed into the cloud, and then every time you you hit a publish, your code will be upgraded in the cloud. So takeaways. Yes, almost there. So it's a great PaaS solution. Hopefully I showed you how easy it is to get started. I showed you really, you know, 5% or even less of what it can do. So please find time if you want to play with it. And I know you love it because you got to send me text messages. So try appservice.azure.com to try it, and then go to azure.com and look at a bunch of products that we have that play so nicely together. So at this point, I think I'm sort of done. So I was told that people are shy to ask questions in English, so, but you have a few minutes if anyone has a question. No?
有没有任何人要问问题都可以举手。 没有吗?
I got it. This is good, yeah. I'll do it now all the time.
好。
This was worth waking up early for it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.